It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, welcome back in Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. It's always powered by KSLSports.com. And if you ever want to get the podcast for this show and any of our KSL Sports podcasts and any articles from KSLSports.com, go download the KSL Sports app today. It's always brought to you by University Federal Credit Union. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte here. We're talking transfer portal as the one-time transfers have been approved in all of college sports. And for BYU basketball, the Cougars are heavily involved in the transfer portal. There's been some BYU guys that have entered the portal, and the Cougars, of course, are looking for some guys out of that portal as well. Connor Harding, a former BYU player, he's found a new landing spot, Matt. He's headed to UVU. Is this a good fit for Connor, you think?
Yeah, I do. And it doesn't even come as a surprise. When he went to the portal, I was basically, I think we even talked about this here on the show. We were like, yeah, he's going to UVU because his wife's still going to play at BYU next year. So I don't feel like, we're all married here on the show. I wouldn't want to live away from my spouse for a whole basketball season. That would be hard. So I felt like his options were limited, knowing that Paisley Harding was going to come back to BYU. And she's not going to leave BYU because that team's good. And they're all coming back. They could do some damage in the tournament next year. So I think it is a good fit. I know that UVU needs some wings, so he'll fit in. And he's a guy, too, I think, who that was probably a tough pill to swallow, losing that role on the team, losing your starting role. I think he wants to play hoops. You can't blame a guy. UVU's got a need. And he's going to fit that need. And so it'll be fun to see him play BYU next year. So it's a good spot for Harding.
Yeah, I think so as well. And it's unfortunate because I really thought that, Connor Harding was going to make a big leap forward, kind of like a Jake Toulson. Yeah. I really did. I mean, I thought he was going to make that big jump. You just saw some of the shooting percentages that he had his sophomore season that just didn't work that junior year. And then when he played against Gonzaga, the number one team in the country, and it was like 0 points, zero boards in 17 minutes of action. It was like minus 22 on the court. It's like there's got to be a little bit of a change, a little bit of a spark in the lineup. But credit to him, though, for sticking with the team and not just entering the portal at that moment. I think Mark Pope, acknowledged that on multiple occasions. Just the buy-in that he did have for the best locker room in America mantra that BYU has. He stayed with it, and he was key in a win against Pacific in a double overtime win. And he also got 21 minutes in that game against UCLA in the NCAA tournament. So hopefully it works out for Connor Harding. He's still got 2 years of eligibility left, so he's got a chance to make an impact at UVU. Mark Madsen kind of had a nice turnaround in year two. They go 11-11, had the nation's number one defensive rebounder in the country. So maybe him and Harding can form like a nice 1-2 tandem in Orem. But for BYU, the Cougars officially signed Atiki Aliatiki, and I'm very excited about this guy, Matt. 6'11" forward, originally from Tanzania, goes to Canada. Now he's headed to BYU. This is a guy that I think could play a lot of minutes early on in his BYU career. He's a hard worker, as Mark Pope mentioned in his press release yesterday when they officially announced his signing. Aliatiki turned down offers from Oklahoma and San Diego State. He's an intriguing prospect. I think his recruitment would have blown up even more had his senior year not been so heavily impacted by COVID-19 yeah. up in Canada. He would have got a lot more offers. So this is a big-time get, I think, for BYU.
Yeah, what's 6'11 guy. So BYU's size is awesome. You get Gavin Baxter back. He's 6'9". You got Richard Harwood back, 6'11". And it's still not out of the question a certain 7-footer comes back next year. So, I mean, if he does, you're talking about an even taller team than a year ago if Matt Harms were to turn. So that's still up in the air, but it's fun to think about because if he were to return and Alex Borsello were to return, this basketball team with the experience in the tournament, it's not the experience you want to get, but it's still valuable experience. You add in a solid recruiting class with that, and then they're still dipping into the portal. Now, it hasn't quite worked out yet. Mike Saunders, who we had on last week, he's going back to Cincinnati with the coaching change. So it's going to be interesting to see who BYU lands. They've swung and missed a few times, which it speaks volumes to the program that you're actually surprised when they don't land a guy. Because it's like, oh, yeah, he's coming. Mark Pope's recruiting. We got Matt Harms. We got Alex Borsello. These guys are signing up. And now we're getting a little dose of actually what happens in college basketball where you don't get everyone that you go after. So I know that hasn't been the case, Mitch, but it's kind of felt that way for the last 2 years. So it's fun to see this roster start to take shape, but there's still a long ways to go.
Yeah, what's nice about Matt Harms and Borsello, if they did come back, they don't count against the 13 scholarships.
Yep.
So they would be an absolute bonus. They would count against the total roster, so maybe some walk-ons might need a gray shirt or something would need to be figured out in terms of the total number of bodies on the roster, but they wouldn't count against the scholarship count. And if you could potentially have 15 scholarship players, that alone gives you a great chance to not only return to the NCAA tournament, but maybe win a game as well. And
that's BYU, it? If they all come back, you just think they only win a singular game?
I mean, you can't honestly expect anything more. I mean, Matt Harms has got a...
You better believe you can expect something more. You're getting the defensive player in the conference back. You're getting Alex Borsello, one of the best three-point shooters, plus all this young talent.
They were
talent.
A 6 seed, and they got smoked.
That team went to the
11.
Final Four. They were one of that's like the
so
best
what?
11 seed in the history of college
BYU
basketball.
BYU was a huge favorite to beat UCLA. Watch, UCLA.
They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. If BYU shoots to their average from three, they might win that game against the best 11 seed ever.
I've seen so many BYU teams, though, in the NCAA tournament go to that stage and just choke.
And you know what teams don't, Mitch? The ones that have experienced dudes, which you're talking about Borsello and Harms, guys that have played a lot of hoops, and a lot of guys on this team were young. Loner's a sophomore. Getting George is in his second year. And you think they're going to win one game if they all come back? I can't believe it.
If BYU gets the round of 32, that is a massive accomplishment. That is
no,
a massive
accomplishment.
Yes,
that, That's a par for the course, and I'm expecting a birdie.
No, it's not. Par for the course, bro, to the 32. BYU never gets the round of 32.
They do when they have good, experienced
senior
leading
groups. When they have the player
of the
year. When they have, like, the player of the year, when they have Danny Ainge or Jimmer.
They didn't have the...
That's when they get to the round of 32.
I can't believe you're setting your bar this low. It's unbelievable.
I have to reevaluate. I have to recalibrate. After
UCLA was a miracle half-court shot from going maybe to the national championship game. Can we remember that fact, that this was like the hottest team in college hoops?
Yeah, because they beat Abilene Christian in the second round. How convenient. BYU would have been in the Sweet 16 this past year, too.
Not the way they shot. I mean, they were so hot and cold all year. We talked about it all year. They could lose to anybody when they can't shoot the ball. They didn't shoot it. Against UCLA, they were horrible from three. That happens.
If they get Harms and Borsello back, I'm saying round of 32. I'm saying a single-digit seed.
I would if they got ousted in the round of 32. I'm ticked. I'm ticked off.
I would be thrilled.
No
way. I would be thrilled with that. I would 100% be thrilled with a round of 32 appearance. Wouldn't you?
I'd be happy, but if they got ousted at 32, I'd be ticked with 15 scholarship guys. Two bonus players who are all conference caliber guys.
I would take that in a heartbeat. I would take that in a heartbeat.
Who is this guy? Who am I hosting the show with? Where's Mitch Harper? Let me know. Text me 5750. Where'd he go? I can't find him. It's unbelievable.
I would take one win in the NCAA tournament in a heartbeat. Just give me one. Just give me one. After what I witnessed in Indy, just give me one. All right. We got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to Dave McCann, KSL 5 TV. Also, he joins us, talks about BYU football, BYU basketball. We'll get to him coming up next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. I've left, everyone!
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.